I want to welcome you today as we come together to worship, to fellowship together here on our live broadcast for our online campus at Rockford Church. Thank you for joining us. This is Rockford Baptist Church. We are the body of Christ. Though we're not in the meeting house, we're meeting together. And I welcome you today. I hope and pray that today will be a day of inspiration for you, a day to bring you into the very presence of God and give you an opportunity to just lift up your praise to God. I encourage you that every day would be a day of worship. Even in the midst of these difficult times, just worship God. Lift him up. Pray every day. Read the Word of God. Spend time sharing in the ministry to others. Text, write emails, write a card, send a letter. Tell people how much you love them, how you look forward to the day when we'll worship again together in the house of God.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you hear me on the radios? Blow your horn if you can hear me.
That's good. That's what I needed to know.
It's good morning. I'm glad you're here. It's good to see you. And thank you for joining me. We're going to see if we can beat the rain and pray that we don't get sprinkled on and all this equipment get ruined. So if it starts raining, some of you healthy guys jump out and let's get this stuff put up. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to share together in song, and we're going to share together in the Word of God. We're going to end with a beautiful song from my lovely daughter, and she's going to end out the service. So at the end of the service, after she gets done, you can blow your horns, and then the guys can start leading you out of here. Let's pray together as we get started today. Father, what a joy it is to be able to share together on this beautiful, beautiful morning. Lord, it's threatening rain, there's clouds, but Lord, it's beautiful because this is the day you have made, and we're going to rejoice because you made it. We're going to be glad in it because you created it. You woke us up this morning, you gave us a new day, and Father, we're grateful for that. Now, Father, I pray that you'll bless us as we share together in song, as we share together in prayer and ministry, as we share together through your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit would fall fresh on each of us. And thank you, Father, for your great love for us, for saving our souls, for giving us eternal life. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. All right. Tina, you want to help me out? Savannah, you got your headphone on? Oh, okay.
Good morning, everybody.
All right, Miss Debbie. Hey, Miss Debbie. Good to see you this morning. We're going to do worthy worship. Let's do the first and the last. Alright? Allie, to see if you can give us just a little volume on her when she starts playing.
Worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of all.
Savior,
Ephesians chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 11 and 12. Verses 11 and 12 of Ephesians chapter 4. This section of Scripture today continues with our preparation for reentry as we're talking about the core things, the core beliefs, the core practices of the church. They've been called everything from the purposes of the church to those core actions, to those beliefs, those basic beliefs that we find in the first century church. However you want to address them, in totality, what you find is you find what we're to do, what we're to be about, how we're to be involved in the work of the church. And this one today speaks of ministry. And it'll take me 2 Sundays to do this. So you just trust me on it and join me again next Sunday. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, it says, "And He Himself," that is God, He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, equipping the saints for the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. Now I want you to notice something before we pray. I want you to notice that those last few words, they remind us that because God gave these individuals to the church, they are for the purpose of building up the body of Christ. Building up. They are for the purpose of preparing the saints for the work of ministry. So through our works, what God has assigned each of us the task to do, He's assigned us to do two things. First, to be ministry to the saints. But secondly, to build up the saints. So today, let's look at this section of Scripture from the viewpoint of reaffirming or reestablishing our ministry. Father, I thank You for the reading of Your Word today. And I thank You, Lord, for the opportunity that we have to share these few moments together. Lord, I pray that You would speak to our hearts and to our lives. Father, I pray that You would prepare us for the days that are ahead, to be active and involved in what You called us to do, to remember that we are the church. And Father, our life is in You. And we want to reaffirm our faith, our walk with You. Lord, I pray that You'll hide me behind the cross of Calvary. And I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to our hearts today. And we'd be mindful of the decisions that You call us to make. It's in Your name that we pray. Amen and amen. The definition for ministry is a very simple definition. It's the spiritual work or the spiritual service of any Christian or group of Christians, especially evangelism. Ministry is what we're about. Worship is important. Yes, it's vital. Sharing the gospel message. Yes, that's vital. Fellowship is vital. How many of you are missing your hugs? Every one of you, right? How many of you are missing your handshakes? Every one of you, right? So those are important things. But ministry is of vital importance. It is, I believe, it should have been number one in my list of reaffirmations. But today we come to this one. And I'm going to cover three points. Three points, very simple points. And if you want to write them down, here they are. A willingness to live where God wants you to live. A willingness to live where God wants you to live. Secondly, a willingness to serve where God wants you to serve. And thirdly, a willingness to put people ahead of programs. And you see that, it's a willingness. You have to be willing. You and I have to be obedient to the call that God has placed upon our lives. We have to be willing to do what God has called us to do. When we look at Nehemiah, we see that Nehemiah was a man who was willing. A man who had been taken captive and sent off to a foreign country. But yet God had laid upon his heart a need to go back to his own people and help them in rebuilding. And so as we think back on Nehemiah, we think back on Nehemiah, a willing man, a man who was a great leader, a man who was an obedient servant to God. But in chapters 11 and 12 of his journal, we find a portion of Scripture that we inevitably want to look up to God and say, why? Why did you all of a sudden put this in the journal? But I want you to make note, if later on you decide you want to read those two chapters, I want you to make note of this very thing. We find here in this section of Scripture families who repopulated Jerusalem. In chapter 11, verses 3 through 25, we find a list of those families. We find that there were lay leaders, and that there were priests, and that they were prophets, and that they were gatekeepers, and that they were temple servants. We find that these families lived in, or we find a list of the families that lived in the city of Judah and the city of Benjamin in chapter 11, verses 25 through 36. And then we also find in this section of Scripture a dedication of the temple, of the walls, in verses 26 through 43. And we find the organization of the temple support. That wasn't the organization of the temple. That was the organization of how to support the temple in chapter 12, verses 44 through 47. But we see in all of this, we see ministry. We see people who are willing to follow God, willing to trust Him, willing to do what God had called them to do. And that was to rebuild the city. That was to bring back the walls. That was to show the glory of God in their midst. And that was to minister to one another. Priests and Levites ministering to each other. Temple servants ministering to each other. Through the support of the temple, the tabernacle, they would be showing ministry. So by all this, we see that ministry involves a willingness to live where God wants you to live. Have you ever heard the phrase, bloom where you're planted? I think that is a very appropriate thing for us to consider today, to bloom where we're planted. Because you see, Nehemiah, going back to the city of Jerusalem, knew that God wanted him there. And he knew that he was willing to go. And so God arranged for him to go back to Jerusalem. And though there were not many people living there, God wanted him to take those that were there and to bring them to work in what God had for them to do. He was willing to go. And Nehemiah, he knew God was with him. So he pulled up his stakes, he pulled up his roots, and he let God replant him. And when God replanted him, he bloomed where he was planted. He was the leader of the children of Israel. He was the cheerleader. He was the band leader. Where does God want you to be? Where does God want you to serve? I think that's the first question we should always ask ourselves when God comes and encounters us with a calling of ministry upon our lives. Some spiritual work, some spiritual service. Where does God want you to be? I'm afraid that we so often miss that because we have our own ideals and our own thoughts about that. We want to be where somebody else is. We want to do what somebody else is doing. Something looks bigger and better, so we want to go there. But God has a plan and God has a purpose, and where God plants us is where God wants us to be. So we find here that we need to ask God the question, where are we to be? Would I have ever dreamed that God would have placed me in this context of life to be ministering and to leading this congregation in the work that we're going through right now? No, not in a million years would I have ever thought that. But God put me in that task and God has given me that opportunity, and I'm thankful to the church for allowing me to serve Him and bloom where I'm planted. Secondly, I want you to notice that we are serving in the sphere that God calls. God wants us to serve where God wants us to serve. And that's what we need to be about. Nehemiah chapter 11 lists those heads of families, those priests, those Levites. They served in the area that God had assigned them to serve. They had different roles. They had different giftedness. They had different things that they were to do. But yet each of them were vital to the cause that God had placed them to do. Listen, you and I may not think that we are very vital in the area that we're in, but God thinks that we're vital in the area where God has placed us. Because you see, we complement each other. We don't need friction. We don't need to allow rivalry to take place. It doesn't have any place in this. Your giftedness does not allow you to criticize others. You do what God has called you to do, and you leave what God has called someone else to do what they're to do. And you leave it alone, and you go forth, and you make sure that God has called you to the task that you are doing. You need applaud, you look to God. You want to applaud others, then applaud others. But don't criticize. Don't downplay somebody else's calling. Don't downplay somebody else's place. I have a friend who is very active, very involved, and it's an amazing thing about what God is doing in his life as God leads him in various ministries through his local church that he serves as the pastor. And it's incredible how so often people will come along and copy what he's doing in their church. And he gets a little distressed about that. He gets a little upset about it. And I always remind him, somebody complimenting your work is sometimes the best compliment that you can receive. Because it's giving them an opportunity to go and do something incredible. And God has placed that upon their heart. And so we don't criticize. Listen, additionally, we do not need to worry about the acclaim. We serve without acclaim. We serve faithfully. We don't serve for fame. We serve because God notices. It's not because somebody else notices. It's because God notices. Listen, I know I'm saying listen a lot. I'm just realizing that. Listen. You and I need to understand that if we unclog toilets, that's what God's called us to do. Let's unclog toilets. If God has called us to work quietly in the kitchen, behind the scenes, let's just do it. That's what God's called us to do. Do not worry about what somebody else is thinking or somebody else is doing. Do what God has called you to do and be involved in that task. Serve where God has planted you and be willing to serve where God wants you to serve. Here's the third thing. Yeah, I'm flying through these today. Here's the third thing. We need to put people ahead of programs. Putting people first is what's important. Programs are okay. They are. I mean, experiencing God was a type of program. It was one of the best in the days that I was teaching it. And it really revolutionized the church in which God called me to place that material and to do that. But we majored on the people, not on that program. And that's what's important. We put people first. Not the program. The people. It's important that the people be considered in all that we do because God desires that we place people at the center of what we're doing. Don't do ministry just because you want to do this or that. Do ministry because you need to help someone else. Remember what Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He said, you're to build up the church. You're to build up the body of Christ. And so, not programs in their place is good, but if people are not considered as the ultimate goal, as the ultimate good, then we have a problem. We have to be willing to live where God wants. We have to be willing to serve in the area that He wants us to serve. We have to be willing to be people-centered people, where people are more important than programs. It's important. It's vital. Ministry is a vital part of our lives. We'll talk a little more about that next week. But let me leave you with this thought. You and I, through our ministry, bless others. We bless, you hear me? We bless others. We give so that they might receive a blessing. We do so that they might receive a blessing. We do what we do so that God might be glorified and honored, but in that person's heart, we are giving them something of substance. When that individual walked up to me on the sidewalk a couple of days ago and said, thank you, I didn't know what to say. And so I just said what was natural, Ken. I said, what are you thanking me for? He said, you sent those folks over to work on my tree. I said, no, sir, I didn't. God did. He said, well, I just want you to know you blessed me. I said, well, thank you. I said, now this is what I want to ask you to do. You bless somebody else. We need to bless because God has blessed us. I want you to listen to this song as we end today. Savannah's going to sing. And after she gets through singing, you're dismissed. Go by and drive by the offering. Drop it in. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity that we've had to be together today. I pray, Lord, that this has been a blessing to us. It has to me. Lord, more than anything, I just pray that your word would stand true and strong. And Lord, I pray if there's one that needs to make a decision for you, to accept you as Savior and Lord of their life, I pray, Lord, that they do that today. Lord, if there's one that's listening today, that needs to reaffirm their ministry, Lord, I pray they'll do that. Most of all, Lord, I pray as we prepare ourselves to re-enter the house of God, as we prepare ourselves to go back into the building, to be the church involved in the work of the facility as well as in the world, Lord, I pray that we would not forget the lessons we've learned. I pray, Lord, that we would continue to move forward and serve you wherever you put us. We give you thanks because I thank you for my friends. I thank you, Lord, for the offering. I pray you'll bless it to encourage and to serve. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.
That's good. Good job. Good job. Thank you.